Welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together, we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This email comes from Megan, Ben and Nathan. I recently discovered you when searching for podcasts related to law school applications, and LSAT prep. I've enjoyed listening to your podcasts on my daily commute. My question relates to going to law school for free. I'm in the Army and will have 100% of the GI Bill covering my in-state tuition, books, and housing costs. Most private universities also offer the yellow ribbon programs to make up for the difference. I'm taking the LSAT in January and have a practice score from last month of 154. My LSAC GPA is a 3.1 in industrial engineering. My requested resignation date for the military, very specific numbers here, September 23rd, 2022, with leave starting in July. I am compiling all application documents now and have already requested letters of recommendation. I'm really curious where this is going. My husband is applying for MBA programs and exiting the Army on the same timeline. We have an 11-month-old and another child due in April. You got a lot going on. If I apply now to all the same schools as him, we have a better chance of having more options together. But if I apply in a year, I will essentially only have one option for law school, but potentially more financial support for our family with more time to improve LSAT and apply early. Whoa, so this question is about them, her applying now or later so she can apply together.
Yep.
I'm leaning towards applying after the January scores are published, but would like to hear your recommendations based on my situation. Also relating to thinking LSAT. Okay, we'll
get to that later. That's an aside. Let's talk about this first issue first.
Well, so I get the dilemma, right? Her husband applies for an MBA program, gets into it, and it's like, okay, well now, do you want to go together? You need to come to my school, and she may or may not go.
Come to my city, at least.
Yeah, come to my city. If you really want to be together, which I think makes a lot of sense, I don't see why your husband couldn't wait a year.
Yeah.
This is America. You can do whatever you want.
I don't know why people are so like they have to go directly from the Army to grad school. Mm-hmm. People, they're like very regimented about this, right? Both of them are exiting the Army. They're both applying to grad school. They're both trying to do it immediately right now this year.
You have two young kids, by the way. That ain't great for your sleep. Might be good to let them grow a little bit.
Can you imagine? They're going to do an MBA and a JD simultaneously and raise what will be a, so it's an 11 month old now.
Yeah.
Starting law school. If she does it on this cycle, on this timeline, if she applies late, like she says she's tempted to do, she'll have roughly a two-year-old and an infant.
Oh,
because another child is due in April. So she's going to give birth in April and then start law school in September. So she'll have a screaming 5-month-old, a rampaging 2-year-old, and she'll be a 1L. And her husband will be in the MBA program, which who knows how rigorous that program actually is. They vary pretty widely.
Hey, this random thought came to my mind. On a Sunday, my two younger boys ran in a Tough Mudder. Have you heard of that?
Uh-huh.
And they had multiple start times. One was at 9 a.m. and one was at 11. There were some other start times, but I was looking at those two because those were the two that they qualified for. And I was like, we're definitely doing 11 a.m. because then we don't have to rush out the door early in the morning to get to someplace far away to do a race. It's the same race. Do you want to race? You guys, it sounds like you think that part of the race is starting the race early.
Yeah, people like just moving on to the next thing. These are like achievement oriented people, and they've got these GI benefits, these GI Bill benefits, and the benefits are burning a hole in their pocket. And they're just in a real big damn hurry to get on to the next thing. And I get it. I'm not that type of person, but lawyers do tend to be that type of person. Hmm. And so I don't know. I mean, I tend to agree though. Like if you can get your husband to wait a year, then you could both wait a year. Then you could make sure that you've got all your ducks in a row, including, you know, one of your kids might be out of diapers before you start law school. Seems like that would be a good move. But if,
what if that help his applications too? I mean, I don't know anything about MBA applications, but
yeah, conceivably. I mean, I don't know if he's done with the GMAT or whatever. I will say that my advice softens a little bit when you have GI Bill money to spend. Like if you know that you're not paying for law school, then I guess I can permit a later application because you're not really worried about scholarships. I would never encourage anybody to follow this path. I would never like say, oh, you better hurry up and do your shit and get the application in late. I mean, that's not my default advice, but let's say husband is locked into applying right now. Let's say that can't change for whatever reason. If that can't change, then I definitely understand Megan's point, which is if husband is like, well, I'm going to go get my MBA in Seattle, then now all of a sudden Megan's options for law school are going to be pretty significantly limited by only choosing Seattle schools. And that could suck. So I could see how doing the applications in tandem might lead them to be able to make a decision together about where they're going to both simultaneously go to grad school.
It's tough though. I feel like we're walking down a path that's setting you up for limited options either way. I think your husband is his decision to go on this timeline is really cramping your options, because if you don't do your best in January, you're also looking at lower ranked schools.
This whole thing seems miserable to me. I mean, but hey, I'm somebody who the 11-month-old and the infant, I'm already out. Like I'm already not doing that. Okay. So I'm off of this. I'm not doing what Megan's doing no matter what.
Yeah.
But like the two infants by themselves is already just insane to me. Adding law school on top of that, adding law school at any time until these kids are like in school seems insane to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never had kids and I'm never going to. Ben, you do have several children. Were your kids, did you have young kids when you were in law school?
I did actually. I remember my con law professor recording class because I had to go to the birth, which may have, where was that? That was at a birthing center. But anyways, it's kids, they're a lot of work. And my wife at the time was not in another school, right? She was mainly focused on the kids.
Yeah, this sounds like a terrible idea. Both doing grad school at the same time as raising two infants seems insane. But that's your life, Megan. I can't.
Yeah. Here's one other trade-off, by the way. If you wait, you'll get a better LSAT score, right? And you'll be severely restricted as to where you need to go. At the same time, you'll give your family a year to get used to one of you being in a program. And then you can take on law school with whatever routines you've established for your husband with the MBA program, right? Like you're adding these things over time, not all in September.
Yeah. You know, using, I just picked Seattle at random. Mm. But we don't know where we're talking about here, because it sounds like you guys might be geographically flexible.
Yeah, if you
like
are, you're gonna move, maybe you
wherever.
Could pick an MBA program in a big city, right?
That's the thing, is that that's maybe another piece of advice, is if you decide to do it on a different timeline, then maybe he should be looking at an MBA program somewhere real big, somewhere that gives you all the options. So I am immediately thinking
DC about, has seven schools.
DC, New York, obviously.
Yeah.
Los Angeles. San Francisco has pretty good representation. The Bay Area has pretty good representation of a range of law schools. Mm-hmm. But like somewhere like Seattle, I mean, Seattle, I know of University of Washington. I think that's the best law school in Seattle, and it's ranked 45th. Mm-hmm. So you'd be kind of like, if he chose to go to an MBA program in Seattle, then you would be kind of limited on the upside as far as how good of a law school you could possibly go to.
Yeah.
That would be a problem. There are lower ranked law schools, but I think it might be like way down there. I'm not sure what other schools are even there besides, I know that Seattle Law School is there, which is like pretty, so that's a pretty big drop off between University of Washington and Seattle Law.
Yeah.
Anyway, boy, if you're going to do it on different schedules, I would advise that you have him pick a big city.
Yep.
If you're going to do it on the same schedule, I just think you're applying late. You probably don't have your best LSAT. You're probably not going to get into the same caliber of schools that you would if you had a better LSAT score. So, you know, if you don't care because you're paying for it with GI Bill money, I guess that's okay. But, you know, in one way of interpreting it would be that you're kind of squandering that GI Bill money, using it on a school that's not as good as a school that you could have gotten into if you would have waited another cycle.
Well, also the lower your score, the fewer options you have. So the less likely you are to overlap anyway, right? You can always go down.
Yep.
If you have a great LSAT score, you can apply to more schools because you can always go down the ladder.
And you might get a scholarship. And it's possible that you could then use that GI Bill money on your kids. Hmm. People forget that, but it is, the programs differ, but some of the programs you can actually use that money for family members. So your plan, you know, if your plan is like, I don't know, it might be short-sighted to just be like, well, I don't really care about scholarships because I got this GI Bill money. I don't know that you could maybe save that GI Bill money because law schools are like throwing money all over the place. I mean, they like right LSAT and the right application strategy. You can definitely go to law school for free.
Yeah.
I would look into that, Megan, to see if that GI Bill money might be able to be used on your growing family.
Cool. I hope that was something in there was helpful. she says, relating to the Thinking LSAT episode 319, and this is where we talked about acronyms in personal statements.
That's our other podcast, weekly podcast, longer form, Thinking LSAT. Yeah.
Yep. Most people confuse initialism and acronism. Acronyms. Both take the first letter of the word of a phrase. It is only an acronym when it creates another word such as NASA. Common mistake.
It's about how you pronounce it.
Yeah. So we say LSAT, which means we're treating it as an acronym.
But did you notice that the LSAC themselves don't treat it as an acronym?
Yeah. They say LSAT. So they're saying initialism.
Yeah, they pronounce it, the makers of the test pronounce it as an initialism. They always say LSAT. Most people in the business tend to say LSAT, which is making a word out of it, which means that LSAT is an acronym the way we say it.
And if you're outside the industry, you say LSATs.
You say LSATs or you say the LSAT test.
Yeah.
That's also bad.
Yep. Cool. Thanks, Megan. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you have a similar quandary or any other question about the LSAT or law school admissions. Thanks for listening.